D.L. Moody used to tell a story of a Scottish girl who wandered away from the Lord when she was in her teens, and she wandered away from the counsel of her parents, and she went deeply into sin. One night, years later, in a wild frenzy, due to her sinful lifestyle, she was just overcome with a sense of misery and just futility. And she determined to commit suicide. But before she did that, she wanted to go back home. She wanted to go back into her neighborhood. She wanted to go back into the city that she grew up in, which was Edinburgh, Scotland, and look at the place where she was born, where she grew up, spend her youth. When she arrived at the old house where her widowed mother still lived, it was late at night. It was dark. And so she stood out in the street behind the fence and just kind of looked at the house for a while and allowed her mind to roam and remember childhood memories. She then opened the latch on the gate and walked up the path towards the house, intending not to go in. She was just wanting to, again, see one more time. Anyway, she walked closer, and she realized that the front door was wide open. Again, it's dark. Fearing that some harm might have come to her mother, she went inside and called out, saying, "Mother, Mother, I found the door wide open. Are you okay?" Hearing the sound of her daughter's voice, her mother being upstairs, came running down the stairs and threw her arms around her daughter. In tears, she said to her, "Maggie, it's been so long since you went away. But the prayer of my heart has always been, Lord, please bring her home." Whether she comes during the day or the night, Lord, I want her to see an open door and know that she is welcome. That night, by the open door of her mother's house, the daughter found her way back to the open door of Jesus Christ. And in turning to Him in repentance and faith, she experienced His love, His pardon, His cleansing from her sin. And the thought of suicide was gone. You know, what a beautiful story of the loving heart of a godly mother that's open, that's inviting, that's entreating, that's welcoming. She put the love of God on display in her life. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7, that kind of love bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. That's the love of a godly mother. Now, I know that although not everyone has the privilege of experiencing the love of such a good and godly woman, we all are commanded in Scripture. All of us are commanded in Scripture to honor our mother. In both Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, Deuteronomy 5, 16, we're told, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Jesus Himself proclaimed on several occasions in the gospel to honor your father and your mother. Paul declared in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the passage that Don read this morning, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." Actually, it's the fifth commandment, but this is the first one with a promise. "So that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." Children in the home are to obey their parents. Again, in the Lord, as to the Lord, they are to obey their parents. And the heart attitude behind this obedience is to be one of honor. Honor being that which highly values, highly prizes, and esteems their importance. You see, even though after children grow up and they leave the home, No longer do they have to obey their parents, but they are always responsible before God, biblically, to honor them. Honor does not cease, even after children grow up and leave the home. We are always to honor our parents. Therefore, this morning, what I want to do is just, as we celebrate Mother's Day, I want us to look at four ways, and I'm sure we could go on and on, but I want to just look at four ways that we can reflect Christ's character and show honor to our mother. The first way is this: to comfort her soul with love. To comfort her soul with love. Again, this is the passage that Heath read to us this morning. In John chapter 19, verse 25 through 27, we read, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved," that's how John always described himself, as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So as Jesus saw his mom and saw John standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his household. You know, as I said during our Easter season in the message that I gave, it's always amazed me that even in the midst of Jesus' physical and emotional and spiritual agony, having been nailed to the cross, stripped naked of his clothes, hanging in total humiliation, waiting for his Father to pour out on him all of God's holy wrath against sin that we deserved, and all of that would be poured out on him as our substitute. And then knowing that the Father would turn his back away from him, which was the greatest of agony, because the eternal Son had never been separated from God the Father and the Holy Spirit. I mean, the triune God had always been together. Knowing in the midst of all of that agony, Jesus was more concerned for the welfare of his mother than for himself. You see, apparently Joseph had passed away, and so Jesus lovingly tells John, looking down from the cross, he tells John to take care of his mother. Look out for her welfare when he's gone. You know, what love. Jesus is the supreme example of the one who comforts his mother's soul with love. For he himself is the personification of agape love, other-centered, selfless love. You see, he perfectly lived out the admonition of Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, which says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others." Love is other-centered. It cares more about someone else than my interests. And this kind of selfless, other-centered, Christ-like love is what a godly mother puts on display. Not perfectly, as Debbie said this morning, not perfectly, but regularly in her life. Author, pastor, and seminary professor John Killinger described this love of a mother when he said, and I quote, "I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of the children they bear. It is stronger than steel, softer than down, and more resilient than a green sapling on the hillside. It closes wounds, melts disappointment, and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity. I believe that this love, even at its best, is only a shadow of the love of God. And I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this greater love flow through her to her child, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of her joy. End quote. An unknown author went on to say about a mother's love in a poem. It goes like this: a mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring, come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns, and it glows with the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It's far beyond defining. It defies all explanation, and it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. A many splendored miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding hand. Washington Irving, an American author, historian, and diplomat, during the early 19th century, said this about a mother's love. The love of a mother is never exhausted. It never changes. It never tires. It endures through all, in good reputation and bad repute. In the face of the world's condemnation, a mother's love still lives on. Again, this is the love of a godly mother as she is allowing God's love to flow through her, a love that believes all things. Again, that bears all things, that endures all things. No matter what is taking place, it's still there. It's still there. Again, through the years, I've talked to many, many people who cannot say that they have a good or a godly mother. So it's a blessed privilege to be able to have that. But regardless of whether we do or we don't, every true Christian has personally experienced the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in their life. And therefore, they are capable, they are enabled by God to reflect His loving character, His forgiving character, to even the worst of a mother in order to comfort her soul with love. And that may be in the things that we say, in the things that we do. Again, they're other-centered. They're for that person's benefit. So the first way that we can honor our mother is to comfort her soul with love. The second way is to treat her properly with respect. To treat her properly with respect. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, the Lord told Moses to tell the children of Israel, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father." Again, that wasn't a suggestion. That was a command. That was a command. The word reverence here means to have an attitude of awe, of respect. It's very similar to honor in that it holds one's parents in a place of highest esteem, highest value. Now, why is that? Why is that? Simply because one's parents are God-ordained. They are the God-ordained people under which they have the responsibility to care for you. Again, they are in a place of authority, God-ordained authority in our life that He has sovereignly placed in our life. Therefore, whether our parents are Christians or non-Christians, whether they're rich or they're poor, whether they're good or they're bad, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. We are to honor our parents, and we do that by treating them properly with respect. You see, God is very serious about children respecting their parents, so much so that in the Old Testament, numerous times he told the Israelites if their children were stubborn, rebellious, they refused to obey, or blatantly disrespected them, mocking them, cursing them, striking them. And there's a number of passages that they were to be put to death. Now, obviously, that would kind of restrain, kids going wild. Praise God, we don't live in the Old Testament. But again, God is still serious. He is very serious about treating parents properly with respect. He's not changed his mind. This is why he's given parents a responsibility to help their children learn proper respect for all authority. Now, the proper respect for authority is not something that just naturally comes normal. It's not just a natural thing for sinful, self-centered people to do. Parents, therefore, must many times give loving discipline to their children so they get the message, so they learn how to properly respect authority. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him." Again, when he talks about foolishness, foolishness is sin. Sin that is within the heart of a child. It's not talking about childishness. It's talking about foolishness or sin. More so than ever before. As you see in 2 Timothy 1:5, where it's talking about, in the last days. And then it lists all these different things. One of those is disobedience to parents. More than ever before, our society today is full of people who are disobedient, who are disrespectful. Our society is also against spanking, cries out, it's archaic, it's unloving, it's even abusive in itself. Now, can that be abusive? Of course it can. But it is not abusive in itself. God says in His Word that to not do it is to not love your child and to not desire their ultimate benefit. Question then is, who are we going to believe? The Word of God, or are we going to believe society? Listen to what God says. This is in the book of Proverbs. He says in chapter 13, 24, "He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." Chapter 23, 13 and 14, "Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with a rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol," or the place of the dead. Because sin that's just not restrained leads people on the wrong path. 29:15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother." 29:17, "Correct your son and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul." Now, even though Christian parents are responsible in dependence on God to bring their children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, which we're told in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Let me say this. There are no guarantees. There are no guarantees that this will automatically result in godly children. The Bible doesn't give us that promise. Yes, Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart." But understand, Proverbs are probabilities. Proverbs are not absolute promises. Children have a mind and will of their own. They can grow up and rebel against the Lord, against their parents. The important thing to remember here is that all children are to reverence or honor their father and their mother, regardless of what age we are. And as we do, that, we treat them properly with respect. The third way that we can show honor to our mother is to satisfy her heart with joy. Satisfy her heart with joy. In Proverbs 23, 15 and 16, Solomon said to his child, he said, "My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart will also be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right." Now the words "be glad" here and "rejoice" are from the same root word that means to be joyful, to be joyful. And here we see that the blessing of a wise child who speaks what is right, or who is living and speaking the truth of God's word, brings joyfulness to the heart of godly parents. Now again, I've met them. There's parents out there who, they're far from godly, and the last thing they want their children to do is to be truthful and to live a righteous life. But what we're looking at here is the heart of a godly parent rejoices when their children live according to God's truth. Solomon went on to state in verses 24 and 25, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him." Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Again, we see their parents' hearts here are deeply satisfied with gladness and with great rejoicing when their children live a wise and righteous or God-honoring life. Just as the Apostle John, said about his spiritual children in 3 John verse 4, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth." So, a godly mother has no greater joy than to know that her children are putting Jesus Christ first in their lives and living in obedience to Him. But you know, as much as this satisfies the heart of a mother, the opposite is also true. There's no greater pain than when they're not. Proverbs 10:1 says, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother." Chapter 17:25, "A foolish son is grief to his father, bitterness to her who bore him." Notice how gladness and rejoicing is replaced by grief and bitterness. Children honor a godly mother most when they satisfy her heart with the joy of knowing that they are not only eternally secure, in other words, they have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, but also presently surrendered. Eternally secure and presently surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, and therefore living obediently to God's truth instead of living according to Satan's lies that are everywhere in the world. You see, this is the foremost prayer of every godly woman. One mother prayed this for her small children, and I quote, "I wish the dirt from little feet, I wash the dirt from little feet, and as I wash, I pray, Lord, keep them ever pure and true to walk the narrow way. I wash the dirt from little hands, and earnestly I ask, Lord, may they ever be yielded to the humblest of tasks. I wash the dirt from little knees and pray, Lord, may these knees be the place where victories are won and order sought from Thee. I scrub the clothes that soil so soon and pray, Lord, may their clothes throughout eternal ages be Thy robe of righteousness. Ever many hours shall pass, I know I'll wash these hands again, and there'll be dirt upon their clothes before the day shall end. But as they journey on through life and learn of pain and want, Lord, keep their precious little hearts cleansed from all sin and stain. For soap and water cannot reach where Thou alone can see their hands and feet. These I can wash, but Lord, I trust their heart to Thee." You see, that's the prayer of a godly woman for her children. When President William McKinley, the 25th president of the United States, was told that his mother was dying, he stopped what he was doing, wherever he was, and he wired home saying, "Tell mother I'll be there." That message was immediately headlined throughout every newspaper in America. President says he'll be there. He's going home to be with his mom. The hymn writer Charles Fillmore was so inspired by these words that he composed a hymn that's been sung around the world and translated into many languages. The gospel singer Charles Alexander, who was a companion of R.A. Torrey, and they went around doing evangelistic crusades, he sang it on their tours. And he said this about that song: no other gospel song ever written brought so many people to conviction and decision for Jesus Christ. Obviously, the Lord used the words through the Spirit to grab a hold of people's hearts, to bring them to faith in Christ. One of the stanzas in the chorus of this famous song goes like this: "When I was but a little child, how well I recollect how I would grieve my mother with my folly and neglect. But now that she has gone to heaven, I miss her tender care. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there." In the chorus, "Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. This message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there, heaven's joys with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there." You see, every godly mother cares most deeply about the spiritual welfare of her children. That's what's most important. When it gets right down to it, bottom line, they don't care what they do in life, what career, what degrees they have, bottom line is, do they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and are they living for Him? That's what a godly mother wants most. And only God knows all the children, the young and the old alike, whose lives have been forever changed because of the faithful prayers of a godly mother. Therefore, moms, never estimate your God-given influence and your impact for good in the lives of your children, whether you see it right now or not. And many times when we don't see it, we just get discouraged and we give up. Don't give up. You never know when or how God will answer your prayers. Timothy, the foremost disciple and the co-worker of the great apostle Paul, was greatly influenced as a child for Christ by his godly mother Eunice and by his godly grandmother, Lois. George Washington proclaimed, "The greatest teacher I ever had was my mother." Abraham Lincoln commented, "All that I am and all that I ever hope to be, I owe to my mother. No man is poor who has a godly mother." Charles Spurgeon said, "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother." John Wesley declared, "My mother was the source from which I derived my guiding principles of my life." D.L. Moody stated, "All I've ever accomplished in my life spiritually, I owe to my mother." Moms, don't underestimate the impact. Spiritual moms, as Heath laid out for us, don't underestimate your impact on people in the body. We can honor our mother best when we satisfy her heart with joy by knowing that not only do their kids have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but also they're living a Christ-centered life according to the truth of the Word of God. That's what satisfies the heart of a mother most. That's what we can give. That's how we honor most our mothers. And then fourth, we can honor our mother as we encourage her personally with praise. In Proverbs 31, we read the words of King Lemuel, which we are told in verse 1, that his mother taught him. Now, these are the words of the king, but these are the words that he learned from his mom. Therefore, in this beautiful chapter, we actually see from a woman's perspective a description of a worthy woman, an excellent wife, a godly mother. Now, the summary of the impact of the various qualities that this woman has is stated in this chapter. The impact that these have on her family is seen in verses 28 through 31. Listen as I read. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Notice here, I just want to point out that the primary quality of this woman, which makes her excel up and above every other woman in the eyes of her children, in the eyes of her husband, is the fact that she fears the Lord. This is a woman who fears the Lord. In other words, the Lord Himself is her first priority. Her first priority and her greatest joy. And because of this, she lives her daily life according to spiritual and eternal values that please Him, that please the Lord. Again, according to the Word of God, that's where her heart is. She wants to do what God calls her to do according to His Word. She wants to please Him. She finds her joy in relationship with Him, first and foremost. And she doesn't live according to superficial and external values of the world, such as a couple here we see, physical charm and beauty. Again, not that those are bad, but those are temporary. They're passing away. She puts the priority on what is most important. What is most important? Peter talks about that in 1 Peter 3, as far as a woman with a gentle and quiet spirit. Again, the inner beauty of the heart. And since God and her family are her priorities, although she seeks no praise for herself, what she does for the Lord, she does for her family. She's not trying to pull out of it to get. Again, her heart is to give. But as she does, she receives. And verse 28 says, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her. Now, for the children to bless her means that they recognize the spiritual priority of their mom, and they see the special blessing it is to have a godly mother. Now, obviously, it takes time for that to happen. Children have to grow up and be able to learn things to where they realize that what they have in their mother, a godly mother, and had the special blessing that she is. And they bless her. They call God's favor upon her when they realize that. Personally, and again, I've said that before, I'm especially blessed because I have a godly mother. I also have a godly mother-in-law who's with us today. Again, they love the Lord deeply. And, you know, I'm very blessed, you know, to have that privilege, especially when I know that not everybody does. Notice that her husband also praises her. It means that he expresses his wholehearted approval and admiration for her, for all that she is and all that she does. Husbands need to praise their wives. They need to encourage her. They need to encourage her personally with praise. Again, I praise the Lord for my godly wife and the mother of my children. Again, whether we have a godly mother or godly wife who's the mother of our children or godly mother-in-law, or whether we have that in our life or not, we're called in the Word of God to honor our mother. And we do that when we encourage her personally with praise. And to do that practically is to tell her how much we love her. Tell her we love her. Compliment her for the various qualities that you do see in her. Thank her for all that she has done and she continues to do. Even when you're out of the house, even when you're grown and you have your own family. You know, the other day I was over talking with my mom for about an hour, trying to get some counsel on some things. Again, let them know how much you love, you know, and respect them and appreciate all that they do. Encourage them personally with praise. I want to close with a tribute to mothers by Fred Kruse, entitled, What is Mother? He says, somewhere between the youthful energy of a teenager and the golden years of a woman's life, there lives a marvelous and loving person known as mother. A mother is a curious mixture of patience, kindness, understanding, discipline, industriousness, purity, and love. A mother can be at one and the same time both a lovelorn counselor to a heartsick daughter and head football coach to an athletic son. A mother can sew the tiniest stitch in the material for that dainty prom dress, and she is equally experienced in threading through the highest, heaviest traffic with a station wagon. A mother is the only creature on earth who can cry when she is happy, laugh when she's heartbroken, and work when she's feeling ill. A mother is as gentle as a lamb and as strong as a giant. Only a mother can appear so weak and helpless, and yet be the same one who puts the fruit jar cover on so tightly even dad can't get it off. A mother is a picture of helplessness when dad is near, and a marvel of resourcefulness when she's all alone. A mother has the angelic voice of a member in the celestial choir as she sings Brahms' lullaby to a babe held tight in her arms. Yet this same voice can dwarf the sound of an amplifier when she calls her boys in for supper. A mother has the fascinating ability to be almost everywhere at once, and she alone can somehow squeeze an enormous amount of living into an average day. A mother is old-fashioned to her teenager. Remember those days? She's old-fashioned to her teenager. Just mom to her third grader and simply mama to little two-year-old sister. But there is no greater thrill in life than to point to that wonderful woman and be able to say to all the world, that's my mother. What a tribute. What a tribute to mom. Today on Mother's Day, as well as throughout the year, I believe every one of us can be and should be used by God to honor our mothers, because honoring our mother, regardless of who they are, is commanded by God. And we need to do that so that they will know how much we do love and appreciate them. Moms, may God bless you and give you a wonderful day today. Let's pray. Father, thank you.